Praise the Lord. This morning, let's take a look at the stars. Come outside and look at the stars. I want to begin with Genesis 15 once again. Last week, we looked at Genesis 15 and looked at God's covenant with Abraham and Abraham's preparation of the sacrifice. This morning, as we come to the Word, you know, David said, "Quicken me according to your word. Make me alive according to your word." Sometimes we want the word quickened to us, and it does quicken to us. It does come alive to us. But how much greater when we are quickened according to the word, and we move into what God has for our lives according to the revelation that he brings forth. Genesis 15, 1 to 6. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then God brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And God said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And Abraham believed in the Lord." Humanly impossible. Beyond anything he could produce, Abraham believed in the Lord, and God credited to him, accounted it to him for righteousness. The Lord saying, "Come outside and look at the stars." Abram, come outside and look at the stars. And I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that needs to come outside of where you are and take a look at the stars and see from a heavenly perspective what God has prepared for those who love him, to see our involvement with him in the kingdom and in the life of the Spirit. Come outside. Come outside, perhaps from your low ceiling of mindedness. Come outside from the low confines of your own dwelling place, the four walls of your own mind, the human mindedness. Come outside and see what God has for you. We all need to come outside the low ceiling of our common dwelling place in this life. You can see in the tent, but you can't see far enough. We need heavenly vision. We need God to take us outside. He said, "Abraham, I'm taking you outside." God took him outside and said, "Abraham, I want you to look at the stars." The Abraham at that point was stuck in his circumstances. A spirit of heaviness had come over his life as he looked at his circumstances, as he looked at the apparent lack of fruitfulness of his own life, the unfulfillment that he was experiencing. He was burdened in soul. He was frustrated inside because he could not see the fulfillment of how he wanted life to unfold and the promise of God and all the blessing that he felt was going to come to him. The Lord had spoken to him a number of years earlier. If you remember Genesis 12, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham," the Lord had said to him, when God first called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, when he first got saved, God put a word into his life that he would have a land and a people, and in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. God would make of him a great nation. He would have descendants and seed upon the earth. And years had gone by, and Abraham was now 75 years old, and he had no heir. He said, "God, what will you give me? I go childless. The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, the eldest servant among us." But he said, "God, you have not given me the inheritance. You have not fulfilled your promise to my life. You have not fulfilled the word that you spoke to my life." God says, "Abram, come outside and take a look at the stars. Take a look at the stars." Sometimes God comes and encourages us when we feel we least deserve it. Does that happen to you? Abram, so burdened, so low, so cast down that what was happening in his life, bound in, holed up in his house, in the tent. And God says, Abram, I'm taking you outside. I want you to look at the stars. Come out into the starlight. Come out into the starry heavens. The wonder of the star-lit heavens. The wonders of the star-lit sky. Words cannot describe what you see when you look up into the heavens. It's a wonder of God, and God gave it to us so that we could get out from our low thinking and look at the sky and see the great promise of God that He has for our lives, to see the heavenly dignity that He's working in all of us. My, the stars are so wonderful. The latest estimate is that how many stars are in the universe? 10 to the 24th power. That's 10 with 24 zeros behind it. And that is only the observable universe. They can't even see to the end of it. The nearest star, as we know, is the sun, 93 million miles from Earth. 93 million. The next closest star is 4.22 light years from the Earth. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. A light year is how far light travels in 1 year. The closest star other than the sun is 4.22 light years from Earth. And the farthest they say that they've been able to observe is 5 billion light years from the Earth. God says, Abram, come outside and take a look at the heavens. The two greatest witnesses of the reality and the person of God are, to me, number one, as the Bible says, natural creation, the heavens. The man would look out into that universe. He cannot find the end of it. And the other is the Word of God, this miracle book that we have in our lives, the revelation of God, everything we need to know for life and godliness in this one book, not extraneous, not abbreviated, where it shouldn't be, but perfectly matched for our life. And so God, we can find out the revelation and understanding of God. And the third witness, of course, is the moral consciousness within every person. A sense of right and wrong, conviction, conscience. God seeking to activate our hearts that we would follow Him. My, the starry heavens. What a world God has created. Go out and look at the stars. Somebody said, well, there was just this big bang. Things just came together and blew up, and this was all created. It's laughable. It's laughable. Romans 1:18-20 says the only reason people don't know God is because they don't want to know God. They shut off the revelation. They don't want to think about it because the Bible says by the things that have been made, the reality of God is definitely confirmed to the human race. And that by the things that have been created, we see His invisible attributes. We see His Godhead and His power. Come outside and look at the stars. When I was a young man, an old missionary said to me one day, come with me to the foreign field and prove your ministry. We'll stay in a 5-star hotel. And so I went to the mission field and I laid on my bed at night and I counted the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They ate some heavenly bread, manna. What is it? What is that? Come outside and count the stars. God's calling this morning. Come out from where you are. Come out from your low-level living. Come out from the abode that you're in and count the stars. Maybe you're in the tent and things aren't so great in the tent. Maybe there's some tension in the marriage today. Maybe there's some struggle in the family. When you think about family and marriage and what's taking place, maybe there's a heaviness and a burden on your soul. And God says, I know all about that, but I want you to live beyond that. I want you to come out and look at the stars. Come out and look at the stars. Get some heavenly vision so you can go back into that tent and live in the life of God and live in the joy and live in the power of God and bring some blessing back into that tent. Because Abram was moping around in the tent, sullen, morose. negative in spirit. God says, Abram, I've got to get you outside. Sometimes we just need to look at the stars. I wonder how many nights after that, Abram slipped out in the dark. Just need to go and look at the stars. Sarah said to him, Abram, where are you going? I just need to go outside for a while. Why? Because spirit of heaviness was trying to come on him again. Doubt and unbelief, a negative spirit, warfare against his soul, enemy powers arrayed against him because they knew the promise and the potential of God in his life. Abram said, I've just got to get out. I've just got to get out under the stars and look into the heavens and find rest for my soul. Need to pray and comfort myself in the promises of God. Confess those promises. Worship. Bring the strength and life of God. Get victory back into my spirit. I don't know how long he stayed out there. Maybe sometimes it was a quick work. Maybe sometimes he was out there for an hour, calling on the name of the Lord, believing the stars of the heavens, Lord. Your word is true. I put my trust back in you until the warfare broke and he could go back in sleep and rest for the night. Now, anybody can hold on to promise of God for a few months, even a few years. The anticipation of the fulfillment of the promise will keep you going that long. But what happens when more years go by? 7, 8, 10 years went by, and there was no fulfillment of that promise. And Abram had been out in the starlit sky many times. But Abram and Sarah were getting a little impatient, especially Sarah. Abram would try to reassure her, God is faithful, God is faithful. But she wasn't so sure anymore. She says, maybe all those prophecies that we hear, maybe they're just an idea, maybe they're not a reality. And all of a sudden, some tension came into the home. Abram and Sarah were arguing. He's trying to hold faith. She's coming against the promise. Unbelief, disturbance in the home because the flesh was fretting. Tension in the home because the flesh is fretting. And there was struggle between Abram and Sarah. Her patience ran out, but Abram held. Abram held, but after a while, he too ran out of patience with God. Be careful when you run out of patience with God. Be careful what you do when you run out of patience with God and take things into your own hand. It is said that the devil went bankrupt and he had to sell all his tools. He was only allowed to keep one. And the tool he chose, it was his choice weapon. It was the wedge of discouragement. If I can only keep one tool, it's going to be that wedge of discouragement. Because I can just put that up against a life, put that thin edge into a life, and I can just tap away. I don't need a sledgehammer. I just need to tap away. Abram, we've got to do something. The years are going by. We're not getting any younger. Let's make some plans. Let's make a decision. In Genesis chapter 16, 10 years later, Bible says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. 10 years, and their patience ran out with God. Said, we're going to do things our own way now. We're going to take life into our own hands. Abram took Hagar as wife, and she bore a child, and they called his name Ishmael. God hears. They said, this is the answer to our prayers. This is the answer to our prayers. But they both knew it was a work of the flesh. No matter how loudly they congratulated one another over the offspring and over the fulfillment in a natural way. Genesis 17 and verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, 13 years after Ishmael was born, no voice of God for 13 years. But when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. King James says, be perfect. Why did God say that? Because Abram hadn't been and Abraham wasn't. God says, I want you to walk before me. I want you to be blameless. I want you to obey implicitly when I give you a word. And God said, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. I will give you those descendants. And Abraham said these words, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said to him, no, Sarah is going to bear a son. Sarah is going to bear a son, and that will be the fulfillment of my promise, and that will be the beginning point of the descendants as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. Abraham repented. Abraham repented before the Lord. It was no longer what Abraham wanted for himself. It was now what God wanted for Abraham. God says, I'm changing your name, and I'm changing Sarai's name. I'm changing Sarai from Hetty, dominative, to Sarah, princess. She's been headstrong, but I'm going to come and do a work in her life. I'm going to breathe my life into her. I'm going to bring my promise fresh into her life, and she's going to turn into a princess. And she's going to be a mother of nations, and kings of peoples will come from her. And Abram, I'm changing your name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. That is what your name is to be. I don't know how that felt for Abraham at first. I'm sure it was a little uncomfortable, but he's believing God. I'm sure he practiced that name on himself, Abraham, 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 many times over. He said, wow, when I walk into town to the shops and announce my new name, when I announced my name to my nomadic village, he had hundreds of servants, possessions, and livestock. He said, when I announce my name, people are going to laugh behind my back. They're going to laugh behind my back. They're going to laugh because they don't know the promise of God that's inside of me. They're going to look at the natural, father of a multitude. They're going to laugh at me. But Abram strolled into town, and he'd go to the merchant shop, and, good morning, Abram. I changed my name. My new name is Father of a Multitude. Father of a Multitude, I'm Abraham. And he'd walk out of the shop, and they'd say, he's 99 years old, and his senses aren't what they used to be. Sometimes we need to start to believe God again. Is there anybody here this morning that needs to begin to believe God again? Abram took hold of that word of God. 99, the promise is here. My name has changed. God has come once again, and he held on to that promise of God. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Says, as is it written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith any longer, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, But listen, he was strengthened in faith, and he began to worship and glorify God. He hadn't seen anything yet, but he had the promise of God renewed in his heart. The Bible says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham took hold of faith in the presence of him whom he believed. When our faith is low, when the promise has fallen, but God comes to renew us, we need to get into the presence of the Lord. We need to begin to worship. We need to admit how dead we are in ourselves, how unable we are in ourselves, and ask God to strengthen us. He was strengthened in faith. How do you get strengthened in faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing a word from God. We must get into the word, get into the presence of God till we hear his quickening life come, till his word comes alive in us. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word that we preach produces faith. We come into the house of God this morning. We begin to worship and pray. We're under the word of God. It produces faith. The word of faith which we preach. When the word of God comes upon our life and it's a living word, faith is renewed and we begin to believe God and we push off the spirit of heaviness and we push off the darkness and we push off the low confines of our ceiling and we begin to see what God sees. The Apostle Paul was using this word in Romans 10:8 for the preaching of the gospel. He said, when we go out and preach the gospel, the word of the message of Jesus Christ, that he came to save sinners, that he came to rescue us from sin in which we're all bound outside of Christ, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, shed his blood to forgive our sins so that we believe into him, we can come out of that death, out of that darkness, under the power of the enemy, out from under the power of the world and come alive in Jesus Christ. Paul says, when we go out and preach that word, it is a word that produces faith in the heart of people because the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It produces faith. When the word of God comes, you can believe. How many remember the day when the gospel of Jesus Christ came to you and something happened because that word of God began to work in you and produce faith and you believed to the salvation of your soul? Hallelujah. Now Abraham took hold of that word God had given him. That word that produces faith. And he began to strengthen himself on that faith. He said, I'm going to cast off my unbelief. I'm going to cast off that warfare that comes against my emotions and my mind that says nothing's going to happen. You're not going to see the fulfillment of the word of God. You're still childless as far as Abraham or as far as Sarah and yourself are concerned. Abraham began to believe God and something happened. His body became young again and the body of Sarah became young again and they renewed their strength and they renewed their vision. And Abraham never faltered again. He was 100 when Isaac was born and he lived to 175 and Abraham never faltered in his faith again. It was so established and settled in his heart. Now, if anyone experienced pitiful results in regards to the promise of God, it was Abraham and Sarah. At 100 years of age, they had one son. Descendants as the stars of the heaven, a multitude, all the families of the earth, blessed as the sand of the seashore. 100 years old, one son, Isaac. And then Isaac got married at 40 years of age, and Rebecca was barren. Rebecca was barren. Another test, the inability of man, needing the power of God. And the Bible says that Isaac began to seek the Lord and entreat the Lord and call out to the Lord for his wife, Rebecca. And 20 years after they were married, when Isaac was 60, they had two little sons, Jacob and Esau. Abram was 160 years old. When he died at 175, he had one son and two 15-year-old grandsons. That's all he ever saw. But his faith was established. He'd go out at night and look up into the stars and he would laugh. Isaac means laughter. He says, I don't care what I see. I'm not looking. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. I know God will fulfill his promise in my life. The greatest thing we can get involved with is the stars of the heaven. The greatest thing we can get involved with is the stars of the heaven. Abraham had everything materially that a man could ever want. He was one of the richest men of the East of his day. He had all the material possessions. Some may say, Abram, why worry about the spiritual side of life so much? Why worry about the kingdom? You're all loaded up, you're all cashed up, and enjoy yourself, relax, travel around. Take your ease. But that is nothing to a true man of God. That is nothing without kingdom passion. You can have all the goods. You can have vacations. You can have money. You can have more than you could ever spend. But you're dead while you're living if you don't have a kingdom passion. And Abraham knew it. Get involved with the stars of heaven. The Bible says our God calls them all by name. He's put them in the heavens and he knows every one of them by name. Those stars represent the redeemed sons and daughters of God that have been so low but have now been raised to such a heavenly dignity in Christ. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, the redeemed of the earth, we who were so low, trodden down by men, bound under sin, under the boot of Satan. But Jesus Christ has taken us and lifted us out of the dust and put us into the heavens. We have a heavenly dignity. We shine as the stars forevermore. And the Bible says in Daniel 12:3, those that are wise, those that have the wisdom of God in them will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And those that lead many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. How many stars have you put in the sky? How many stars adorn the heavens today because of your prayers, your evangelism, your missionary outreach, your travail for the kingdom, your kingdom finances, your investment into the kingdom of God? God has given each one of us the promise of Abraham that we can go out and look at the stars and be involved with the heavenly kingdom and be involved with the populating of heaven by his grace and by his spirit. Hallelujah. So shall your descendants be. So shall your descendants be. Go outside and look at the stars. Say, Lord, I'm involved in your heavenly kingdom. All of us together as the body of Christ today are participating in the blessing of Abraham. The stars in the heavens are because of the fruit of the ministry of the body of Christ in all the earth. And what an opportunity, what a privilege for us to be involved with God. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk with heavenly vision. No fact. Faith and feeling were walking along on top of a wall. And faith was doing just fine as long as he kept his eyes on fact. But every time faith turned around to see how feeling was coming along, he fell off the wall. Fact is the word of God. And faith is our response to the word of God. And feeling will just have to come along as it will. Abram, come outside and look at the stars. Come outside and look at the stars. The Lord said to him, look now to the heavens. Anyone this morning that needs to look now to the heavens, you've been looking down on your circumstance. You've been looking at the ground. Your vision is too low. God says, now look to the heavens. Look at the stars and count them if you can. Sometimes we're looking down when we should be looking up. We need a heavenly vision. We need what God's vision is for our lives. We have Peter. Peter, when he was walking on the water. Walking out on the water. Do we have that scripture today? Matthew 14. Jesus said to him, come. When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's like Peter. You're out walking on the water because Jesus said, come. The winds are contrary and the waves are being tossed in your circumstances and you wonder how you can walk, but it's a miracle that you're walking. You're walking above circumstances by the power of God because Jesus said you could. He said, come, walk with me on the turbulent sea. Come, walk with me on the difficult circumstances of life. My word will hold you. But you know what happened to Peter? He lost vision. He began to feel the strength of the wind. He began to think about the impossibility of what he was doing. He began to think about all the things that could go wrong. And all of a sudden he began to sink. But he cried out, Lord, save me. And I love what the Bible says. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And together, Peter and Jesus walked across the troubled sea, and when they got into the boat, the sea went calm. Psalm 25, verse 15. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Psalm 25, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Maybe our eyes are on our feet and we get all tangled up. And you curse your feet, clumsy feet. Can't control these feet, how they walk and what they do. And the more emphasis, the more we look down at our feet, the more tangled up we get. But the Bible says if we begin to look to the Lord, he knows how to untangle our feet. He knows how to set us free so we can walk in liberty and in the power of God. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. I can't pluck my own feet out of the net. The more I struggle, the more I strive, the more tangled up I become. But if I look to the Lord, he knows how to set me free to walk before him in the land of the living. When I look down into myself, I see a bottomless pit of despair, questions, struggle, misgivings. Look down into myself, it's a bottomless pit of hostilities and strife and anxieties and fears and doubts. But when I look up, hallelujah, I see the glory of God. When I look up, I see the heavens. When I look up, I see the stars. I see the presence of God. I see the power of God. The promise of God comes back into my heart. My faith is renewed, and I can walk before him like a son and daughter, like a king's son should, because I'm looking up to him, our Lord and our Savior. I want to close with Luke 21, 25 to 28. In these days, difficult days on the earth, we can get all caught up and anxious about this world and what's taking place. The violence, the criminality, the strife, the redefinition, the reclassification of human beings. And you can get so involved and torn up inside. What's going to happen? This world's so evil. What's taking place? Listen what Jesus said. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations. The political powers can't handle the forces they're dealing with because they're principalities and powers of darkness. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. That's the agitated life of man in the earth, a restless sea. Men's hearts failing them from fear. From fear. There's no end to the medical reports. There's no end to the diseases and what you should do and what's coming and how to prepare yourself and make sure you shore up your life somehow in the natural. There's no end on the earth. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Maranatha, our Lord comes. Our Lord comes. The Bible says, look up, come outside and look to the stars. Look to Jesus. Don't look to your circumstances. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and you can walk the troubled waters of this life. Look up to the Lord. Ever look to the Lord and He will pluck your feet out of the net and keep you walking in holiness and righteousness and the strength of the will of God. Look up and rejoice, because your redemption draws nigh. Jesus Christ is coming for His bride. Corrie Ten Boom said, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within yourself, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within yourself, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Let's stand together today. Surrender our hearts to the Lord. Take on faith. Take on some heavenly vision this morning. The Lord's calling. Come outside and look at the stars. Look at the stars. Believe God. Believe God once again. The altars are open. If you feel you'd like to draw near to the Lord, if you need prayer for any situation, circumstance of life, please slip out from where you are, make your way to the front, to the altars here. But let's all of us yield our hearts to the Lord for a few moments as we close out in worship this morning. Jesus Christ is Lord.